John chapter 4, verses 4 through 14. Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me some water to drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy him some food. The Samaritan woman asked, "Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews and Samaritans didn't associate with each other. Jesus responded, "If you recognize God's gift and who is saying to you, 'Give me some water to drink,' you would be asking him, and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become, in those who drink it, a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life."
Today we're going to the well. And this scripture is deep. Well, deep. Nobody laughed. Thanks. Appreciate that. The scripture's deep and it's kind of complex. So I was writing the sermon this past week and I really thought about what way could we present this a little bit better. Something that you can actually see and put together with this scripture. So I came up with this.
I'm a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I'm a woman of no reputation, save that which is bad. You whisper as I pass by and cast your judgmental glances, but you don't take the time to look at me or get to know me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And otherwise, what is the point of doing either one of them in the first place? To be known. I want someone to look me in my face and see more than just two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears. But to see all of me and all that I could be, all of my hopes, loves, fears. But that's too much to hope for, to wish for, to pray for. So I don't. Not anymore. Now I keep it to myself. And by that, I mean the pain. The pain that keeps me in my own private jail. The pain that has brought me here at midday to this well. To ask of a drink is no big deal. But to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, outcast, a failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning. And as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You are a man of no distinction, but of the utmost importance. A man of little reputation, at least so far. You whisper to me and tell me to my face what all those glances have been about. You take the time to look at me, but you don't need to get to know me. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me. You ask actually know me, all of me, everything about me, every thought inside, every hair on the top of my head, every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, all of my past and future. You know all that I am and could be. You tell me everything. You tell me about me. That which is spoken from another would certainly bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you, it brings love, mercy, grace, hope, salvation. I have heard of one who was to come to save a wretch like me. And now here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to. I must run back to town. This is way too much just for me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, the sinners and the saints, who need to see what you've shown me, to hear what you've told me, who needs to taste what you gave me, and to feel how you forgave me. To be known is to be loved. And to be loved is to be known. They all need it. We all do. We need it for our own.
To be able to explain this to you in a little more depth, you have to look at something. You have to look at the history of what's happening here. Wells, water sources, are usually where villages popped up in biblical times. They had to have that water. But they also had to be able to draw from it. This well that we're talking about is Jacob's well. The land that Jacob gave the people. Now, this woman who was at the well, she was a Samaritan. Samaritans were hated people. They were looked down upon. They were people that had been taken and placed in a land and they were bred with, and another race of people were developed and they were looked down on. And this Samaritan woman, she was even looked down on in her village. She was not liked. She was judged. She was condemned by her people, and she avoided going to the well in the morning like all the other women did. They went to the well in the morning and in the evening to draw the water. And this well, it was out in the country. So it was a hike to get there. It was a struggle. And this woman who had been judged her entire life, had been put down her entire life, she adjusted her schedule. She went at noon to draw the water. Why did she go at noon? So she wouldn't be judged by the people there. She had been condemned her entire life. She'd been talked about. She'd been judged. She'd been ridiculed. She had been persecuted by her people, her own people, and she avoided them. Avoiding them, she went to this well. And here sat this Jew. Now, I'm here to ask you, if you had walked this entire distance and you walk up on a stranger that you think is in an area that's all alone, aren't you going to feel just a little apprehensive? And then this Jew had the audacity to say, "Give me a drink, woman." Jesus knew her schedule just like he knows your schedule. He knew that this woman would travel to that well on that day at noon. He knew this, and he went to be with her because he knew that she needed to be met on a personal level. A personal level with God. Jesus knew his disciples were going to be gone in the village shopping for groceries. He went to this woman and he talked to her. Now, to bring this to a little bit further, I want to ask you this. For those of you that have read your scriptures, haven't you realized that the Samaritan people who were ostracized and terrible people are now thought of a little bit better? How many times have you heard the word Good Samaritan? How many times have you read the scripture where the Samaritan helped a man that had been robbed and left for dead on the side of the road? The Samaritan did that because Jesus went to the woman first, met her at the well on her level, healed her on her level at the well, and she went back and was so excited and so full of energy. She told everybody, she said, "Hey, you know this Jesus, this Jew? He is the Messiah. He's going to save me. He can save you. I don't know about you, but he might be able to save you." Jesus does them kind of things. He meets us on a personal level. Have you ever been on a personal level with God? I'm asking you, have you ever went to that well alone? Have you ever struggled? Have you ever been ostracized by the people around you and judged and ridiculed? And the best place you need to go is to that well. Jesus will meet you there at the well. Now, there's a whole lot of symbolism going on in this text, and we can really look at it and we can pick it apart and we can be like the biblical scholars and look at the adverbs and the adjectives and the descriptions of all this and that, and then we can pick up a translation and we can look at another translation. The truth of the matter is simple. Jesus provides the living grace that you need to save your life from whatever you got going on. It's that simple. The problem is we walk to that well and we come out with just water. We refresh our drink, our thirst, quickly. One sip of the water. We just replenish the H2O in our system. We work as a science project to keep ourselves hydrated. We forget that it's not about drinking water. It's about drinking in the grace from that deep well. That well that goes all the way to the center of where you're at. Folks, you are the well. You are the well. And it's deep. It's complex. It's hard to draw water out of. And Jesus meets you on a personal level at the well. He meets you there. And it's up to you to take that living grace inside you and replenish yourself so that you can be hydrated, so you can live a life that's full of life and full and productive life. We can't live on just shallow drinks. We've got to take big gulps. Because I can tell you, each and every one of us that's sitting inside this sanctuary today have been judged. You've been ridiculed, you've been persecuted, you've been made fun of, you've been laughed at by people who call you their friends, who call you part of their village, who call you part of their community. And it hurts. It hurts bad. This past week, my wife and I had us a heated discussion, and it took my 21-year-old daughter to calm us back down because I had been hurt. Over a simple little phone call. A simple little phone call. Questioning me on, are you doing your job? I missed church. You didn't call me, Pastor. Why didn't you call me? Well, you miss church all the time. Am I supposed to call you every time the wind changes directions? Or should you realize that you need to come see God, not the pastor? The pastor is the guy that stands up here and brings you the message that God has laid on my heart to give to you today. Not for me to call you at home because you skipped church. So her and I got in an argument about that. And I realized that I was being hurt and I was lashing out at other people. Each one of you have been hurt and you've lashed out at other people. Some of you got some pretty complex stuff going on in your life. Your well is shook up bad. And you lash out. And when you lash out, people around you being human, they lash out also. And we all build up into this big conflict and we explode and we can't be around each other because our well is shook up. Because we never did slow down long enough to sit down by that well and talk to the creator of it. Our conflict was easily handled by talking it out and asking God to come in and cleanse it. Wash away the problems. Wash away the fears. Wash away the anxieties. Wash away everything that I'm carrying around inside me, the anger, the resentment. Have you, as a people, washed away that kind of stuff? I'd like to say yes, because God is there providing living grace. Living grace. As we prepare to go into our Lenten season, which for many, they don't understand what Lent is. Lent is that time where you prepare yourself because the Savior is going to lay his life down for you. You should be willing to celebrate that entire time. Talladega Nights. I know most of you guys have probably seen that movie, right? Look at you. Are they always this quiet? I didn't think so. I've been over here on Monday nights and Wednesday with the Cub Scouts. They're never quiet. You bring me here, it's like, oh God, he's standing up here in front of us. Look around. Talladega Nights. Ricky Bobby, he prays to the different Jesuses. Anybody know any of the Jesuses that he prayed to? Really? Thank you. He prayed to the Tom Cruise, the Oprah Winfrey, the little baby Jesus in the manger, the cute little one that you look at and this and that. And he was kind of being sacrilegious about it, but really he was being honest. Because so many of us, we pray to the celebrities. We pray to the life around us. We pray to our paychecks. We pray to our spouse. We pray to all kind of stuff, but we forget to pray to the Christ. The important one in the whole thing, the whole mix. You got to pray to the Christ because the Christ is the bridge to get us from negative life to happy life. Negative life to happy life. And I ask you, are you coming thirsty to the well? If you're coming thirsty to the well, you got to find out how to get that water out. You got to drink from that well. You got to fill yourself up so that you can sing a song that's so loud and so joyous, like the Samaritan woman who changed an entire world of thinking about her people being negative people, being a positive people. Because she spread the word of Jesus Christ to everyone to experience. I challenge you today, all you future leaders sitting here in the front row, you guys think you're teenagers. You think that, okay, I don't have to really put this much effort into it. I want you to challenge yourselves to this, even though you're not a teenager, but I'm going to promote you anyway, Luke. Change the world. Change the world. You might not believe in God right now. You might think it's all a bunch of hokum. You might think it's a big joke. But I'm here to tell you, when you're sitting in these rows behind you and you're holding little babies like this over here, or you're holding on to loved ones that are going through health issues and crises and things like that, I want you to draw on this. I want you to go back to the well, fellas. Go to the well. It's deep. It's complex. It's hard to grasp. But you can do it. You can go back and you can find where Jesus is at in your life. And it started here. In a building that's being supplied by you, by people who believe in Christ. Who believe in God the Father being all that He is. It's not just the building where you can gather and you know, go camping and hang out and do this and that. It's actually a building where you can come in here and draw from the well. Honest and truly, there's times, and I know many people in this congregation that walk into this building all different times during the week. There's one lady that comes here at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and she will sit in this sanctuary in the dark so she can feel the presence in her well. I'm telling you. And those of you back there, draw from the well. It's not just a drink of water. It's a life-changing experience. Please stand and join us in our closing song.